From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we bring you as much of the White House update on the coronavirus as time will allow.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Today I'd like to provide you with an update in our war against the coronavirus. Thanks to our comprehensive strategy and extraordinary devotion to our citizens, we've had such tremendous support all over. We continue to see encouraging signs of progress. Cases in New York area, New Orleans, Detroit, Boston, and Houston are declining. Denver, Seattle, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Nashville, Indianapolis, and St. Louis are all stable and declining. All parts of the country are either in good shape, getting better, in all cases getting better. And we're seeing very little that we're going to look at as a superseding hotspot. Things are moving along. Really a horrible situation that we've been confronted with, but they're moving along. As we express our gratitude for these hard-fought gains, however, we continue to mourn with thousands of families across the country whose loved ones have been stolen from us by the invisible enemy. We grieve by their side as one family, this great American family, and we do grieve. We also stand in solidarity with the thousands of Americans who are ill and waging a brave fight against the virus. We're doing everything in our power to heal the sick and to gradually reopen our nation and to safely get our people back to work. They want to get back to work, and they want to get back to work soon. There's a hunger for getting our country back, and it's happening faster than people would think. Ensuring the health of our economy is vital to ensuring the health of our nation. These goals work in tandem. They work side by side. It's clear that our aggressive strategy to slow the spread has been working and is saving countless lives. For those who are infected, we've taken unprecedented action to ensure they have the highest level of care anywhere in the world. The federal government has built more than 11,000 extra beds, shipped or delivered hundreds of millions of pieces of personal protective equipment, as you know. In fact, some of the people here are going to be talking about it, some of our greatest executives, some of the greatest anywhere in the world, and distributed over 10,000 ventilators. And we now have, in a very short period of time, many have been delivered and hundreds of thousands are being built. And frankly, every governor has more ventilators right now than they know what to do with. They're actually shipping them to different locations, and we're shipping some to our allies and others throughout the world, because we have ventilators like the job that they've done in getting this very complex piece of equipment built is actually incredible. You don't hear about ventilators anymore, except in a positive way. We've launched the most ambitious testing effort, likewise, on Earth. The United States has now conducted more than 5.4 million tests, nearly double the number tested in any other country, more than twice as much as any other country. Think of that. Moments ago, I came from a meeting with some of our nation's largest retailers, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Kroger. We're joined by the leaders of those great companies, and we also have with us the leaders from the world's top medical diagnostics companies and suppliers, Thermo Fisher, LabCorp, Quest, U.S. Cotton, and the American Clinical Laboratory Association. These are great, great companies. These private sector leaders, along with others such as Roche, Abbott, Becton, Dickinson, Hologic, and Cepheid, have been exceptional partners in an unprecedented drive to expand the state's capabilities and our country's capabilities. The job they've done has been incredible. The testing that's been developed and being developed right now has been truly an amazing thing. I want to thank Abbott Laboratories for the job they've done. I want to thank Roche, and in particular, those two have really stepped forward. Abbott with a five-minute test that people can take, and in 5 minutes they know what the answer is. I'd like to ask, if I could, the executives of these great companies, and they have really helped us a lot over the last 45-day period. We're talking about a 45-day period when many of us met. And since then, what Walmart and the others have done has been nothing short of amazing. So I just want to ask them to come forward and say a few words about their company. Plus, they're going to make a big contribution to our country. Please, come forward, please. Thank you. Come on up. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for all of you for being here today. And what we'd like to talk about is the progress we made. The last time we were here was March 13th, and we've made tremendous progress. And none of that progress could be made without the 47,000 people at Quest Diagnostics that are working around the clock on working up the test and running the test and delivering the results that we need. As far as results, we've made tremendous progress. We are currently at Quest Diagnostics testing about 50,000 tests per day. We've been pushed by the task force to bring up that number. By the end of May, we'll have 100,000 tests per day, about 3 million tests, and these are the molecular tests that we do today. We've also brought up serological testing. We started that this past week, and by the end of May, we'll be close to 250,000 a day, about 7,000 a month. So you put those two numbers together, it's about 10 million tests by the end of May that we'll be doing at Quest Diagnostics. We're doing that also in a quicker way. Turnaround times were somewhat of an issue at the early days. We've reduced that to 1 to 2 days. Our turnaround time for people in beds, hospital beds, is less than 24 hours. And we're doing that in the same way we've done it with the FDA and with CLIA, delivering the quality that you all expect. And convenience will improve as well with convenient solutions that will be able to swab individuals more easily and also deliver to consumer, the ability to have consumers choose a test online with a telehealth provider. So with that, I'd like to offer my colleague the podium as well.
Mr. President, thank you very much for your leadership and for having us all here today. Our scientists and our lab technicians are working day and night in order to do as many tests as we possibly can for the American public and to turn those tests around as quickly as possible. Just 45 days ago, we said we could do several thousand tests a day. We can now do 60,000 tests a day, and we're continuing to expand that capacity every single day. In addition, our scientists are working to make testing more convenient and easier. We have the swabs now that are much smaller than the original ones that we originally launched with, but we also have the Pixel by LabCorp at-home test. That test right now is for healthcare workers on the front line and first responders, but we will be rolling that out much more broadly over the coming weeks. And we're going to roll it out with absolutely no upfront cost for the individual consumers. At the same time, we are building our capacity for serology testing. And we can currently do about 50,000 today, and we'll be able to do several hundred thousand per day by the middle of May. And we're going to be working with the retailers, our colleagues that are here today, to help them as they expand their testing capabilities across the entire country. And lastly, Mr. President, we have a rather large drug development business, and we will continue to work with our colleagues in the pharmaceutical and the biotechnology industry to ensure we do everything we possibly can to enroll clinical trials fast so that we can get new treatments and potential vaccines. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you, and thank the administration for all of their collaboration to enable Thermo Fisher Scientific to be able to produce the test kits that companies like LabCorp and Quest and the public health labs around the world run. We met our original commitments of producing 5 million kits a week, and we're up to scaling that to double that in the coming weeks in terms of supporting testing around the world. I'd like to thank my 75,000 colleagues around the world for their tireless effort to make that a reality and supporting all of our customers to have the testing necessary to get America back to work.
Thank you very much. Great job.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm John Nims with U.S. Cotton, and we are the company that is going to produce the swabs to be used in these testing kits. We have about 1,200 people in our company, and in our Cleveland operation, they have pivoted from, as you've said, the Q-tip style swab to a swab that's going to have a plastic stick with a polyester tip so that they can be assembled into these kits. Our Cleveland team has done a wonderful job with this, and they're very excited to be able to help in this effort. So thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
Thank you very much. Great job. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm Larry Merlo with CVS Health, and it was just over a month ago that we opened up our first drive-through test site. And since that time, we have opened large-scale testing facilities across five states in partnership with the administration and working with the governors of Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Georgia, and Michigan. And these sites are enabling us to test approximately 1,000 individuals a day with real-time results. We now have a capacity to test about 35,000 individuals each week. And this afternoon, we announced plans to expand that capacity even further. Beginning in May, we will install testing capabilities in up to 1,000 CVS pharmacies. We'll be using our drive-thrus and our parking lots with swab testing. So again, you'll see that coming online in May. And we also recognize the fact that the virus is disproportionately affecting our minority communities. So we're working in partnership with organizations like the National Medical Association to bring testing and care into the traditionally underserved communities. We're also beginning to implement mobile capabilities with which to do that. And as businesses are restarting their workforce, we'll also be looking to assist them as they begin to come back to a normal operation. And finally, as my other colleagues, I just want to thank my CVS colleagues. They have done a phenomenal job in terms of helping people in many different ways, all across communities in the country. And they're part of this army of healthcare professionals and front store and first line supervisors and workers that are doing terrific things to bring our country together, and for that we owe them a huge amount of gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great job. Thank you,
Mr. President. Appreciate the invitation to be here today, and it was just 45 days ago when we were here. I'm Richard Ashworth. I oversee Walgreens in the U.S. And I just want to start off, Larry, like you, thanking the over 200,000 Walgreens team members who are in stores every day all across America, taking care of our patients and our customers, giving them essential daily needs, the prescriptions, obviously, that they need, and even COVID testing while we're here. We also announced today we'll be expanding our testing capabilities across all states, including Puerto Rico. We'll be able to triple the volume that we do now in partnership with our lab partners, and we're excited to be able to do that. We're really excited with the public-private partnership that we have here, because that's what's enabling us to do this, and we look forward to working with the additional states to get these sites up and running as fast as possible. As a pharmacist, I just want to say one quick thing. I'm really proud to be part of this profession, and not just Walgreens pharmacists and pharmacy employees, but all of them across grocery, mass, independence. You're really doing what you should be doing and what you went to school for, to help patients, counseling them on their medicines and helping them understand the problems that we're facing. Pharmacy is right here in it with everyone together in the community, and we look forward to being part of the testing like we are now, serology, whatever that might look like in the future, and eventually treatment when the vaccine does come. So thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. We appreciate all you're doing to get America back to work and doing it safely. I represent Kroger, and my name is Rodney McMullen. And I am so proud of our nearly 500,000 associates that are doing everything every day to keep customers safe and our associates safe. And one of the things that we were able to do is provide the basic practices we're doing. We call it Blueprint. And it's the things that all of us can learn from on how to get America back working. We also announced earlier today continuing to accelerate our practice on testing. We are actively engaged in 6 states. In the next couple of weeks, we'll take that to 12 states. And the number of tests that we do continues to grow faster than that. Together, we will win. Together, we will solve this problem and move on. America is always great. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Doug McMillan. I'm a Walmart associate, and I, too, would like to start by thanking our associates for everything that they're doing in our stores, Sam's Clubs, distribution centers, and in our e-commerce fulfillment centers. They've been inspiring and continue to have a can-do attitude and step up. It's much appreciated. We started 45 days ago, as did everyone else, and we've been operating sites for a while now. We're now up to 20 sites across 11 states. By the end of next week, we'll be to 45, and by the end of May, we'll be at 100. We also, a few weeks ago, Vice President Pence and I were in a distribution center in Virginia, a food distribution center. He was kind enough to come and thank our associates for us there, which is much appreciated. And the President and Vice President were speaking on the phone about surgical gowns, and the President asked if we could put in an order for millions of surgical gowns, and we don't normally buy those, so I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to do that. But I'd like to thank our apparel team and McKesson in particular for partnering with us. We've been able to, in the month of April, secure an additional 2.5 million surgical gowns. And by the end of May, we'll have an additional 6 million available to help. So thank you for the opportunity to serve and for being here.
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thanks to the team for getting this great operation up and running for the benefit of the country. I'm Hayward Donegan with Rite Aid, and we are currently operating 40% of the current test sites in 25 locations across 8 states. And I had the opportunity, as I was driving up, to stop at our Richmond location and see the testing in action and thank the associates, whether it be security or pharmacy, front end, everybody who's helping with this great effort, and all of the customers that appreciate this so much. It was really amazing to see. And I want to thank my 50,000 associates also for keeping these retail locations up and running during these really, really tough times. It's been quite amazing. And we, too, are going to expand our testing, and we're doing about 1,500 a day. Thanks.
So thank you all very much. It's incredible what we've done together over a short period of time. I want to thank our Vice President for the task force and the work. Every day it gets better, and we had a fantastic call with the governors today. And I would say that they are as thrilled as they can be, considering that the fact is that there has been so much unnecessary death in this country. It could have been stopped, and it could have been stopped short, but somebody a long time ago, it seems, decided not to do it that way. And the whole world is suffering because of it, 184 countries at least. But I want to thank all of these great business men and women for the job they've done. They've been fantastic with us, working with us. And as you know, for several weeks, my administration has encouraged the governors to leverage unused testing capacity in states. Very few understood that we have tremendous capacity. Then 1 week ago, we provided each governor with a list of names, addresses, and phone numbers of the labs where they could find additional testing capacity in their states. Within 48 hours, the number of tests performed across the country began to absolutely skyrocket. On Saturday alone, more than 200,000 test results were reported, which is a gigantic number, bigger than any country anywhere in the world for a much longer period of time. A number that is an increase earlier in the month when we tested roughly less than 100,000 a day. So we much more than doubled it, and that will be doubling again very shortly. We are continuing to rapidly expand our capacity and confident that we have enough testing to begin reopening and the reopening process. We want to get our country open, and the testing is not going to be a problem at all. In fact, it's going to be one of the great assets that we have. Today, we're releasing additional guidance on testing to inform the states as they develop their plans for a phased and very safe reopening.
Our blueprint describes how states should unlock their full capacity, expand the number of testing platforms, establish monitoring systems to detect local outbreaks, and conduct contact tracing. We have it all. Other countries are calling to find out what are we doing and how do you do it, and we're helping them. We're dealing with a lot of countries, helping them on testing, just like we did on the ventilators. I directed our Medicare program to make it easier for seniors to get the testing that they need, and the pharmacies, as you know, we are allowing pharmacies now to do testing, and we have other testing locations that we're going to be allowing also, but having pharmacies get involved in testing is a very big deal. We're also asking governors to do the same in their Medicaid program, so they're going to be able and authorized to do the same in Medicaid. So it's a big, that's a big deal. So we're deploying the full power and strength of the federal government to help states, cities, to help local government get this horrible plague over with and over with fast. There's tremendous energy in our country right now. There's energy like people haven't seen in a long time, a spirit that they have not seen. And we're doing very well, considering what happened to us and considering if you look at what happened to others, this is something that the world has not seen for a long, long time. You can probably go back to 1917. Where it was a terrible period of time. You all know what happened in 1917. That's over 100 years ago. With that, I'd like to introduce, if I might, Dr. Birx, if you could come up, and then Admiral, you'll come up, and between the two of you, you'll explain the entire process and how much progress we've made and where we're going. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the blueprint lays out the roles and responsibilities to enhance our partnership between the private sector and the public sector, bringing together state and local governments with the federal government to ensure that we can accomplish and achieve our core principles and objectives. We can have the first slide. The core elements of the testing plan include both three elements: robust diagnostic testing plans developed in partnerships with state, and I just really want to thank the governors and the health officials, both at the state and local levels, who've been working with us day and night to work through these issues, and also all the laboratory directors in many of the states, as well as the American Society for Microbiology, who've been working with us to ensure that the plans were efficient and effective. Within the robust diagnostic testing plans, it was really unlocking the full capacity of the state, increasing the number of testing platforms. We now have multiple tests for different platforms, increasing the ability to collect samples, increasing testing and laboratory supplies, and ensuring that we work together to make sure that every client receives the tests that they need. This is added with timely monitoring systems. And what do I mean by that? It's systems where we bring together the ability to not only diagnose the symptomatic, but proactively and interactively work with individuals that we know are at higher risk. We've worked with states to look at where the outbreaks have occurred when they're not in the large metros, and we see that it occurs very often in places of close settings among our Native Americans and among our long-term care facilities. So an active monitoring program that's active, integrated, and innovative. And then combining us with the third element, which is the rapid response program, relying on CDC to be working with state and local governments to ensure that every symptomatic case, and critically the asymptomatic cases, are quickly tracked and traced to ensure that we can not only control this epidemic, but predict outbreaks before they expand. And then finally, the plan includes approach of using science and technology to develop even newer platforms, more efficient testing, really ensuring that the antibody tests that are utilized and recommended by both FDA and CDC have high quality in predicting both exposure to the virus and antibody development. And then finally, working on innovative tests that could be high throughput and point of care, an antigen-based test or a point of care expanded nucleic acid test. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Ambassador Birx. If I could have the next slide, please. I want to spend just a couple minutes about telling, going over where we've been, but more importantly, where we're going. I think we all can understand how we can group this into three distinct phases. First is our launch phase, when we were really engaging the emerging epidemic and the types of things we need to do. For example, mobilize the private sector to develop tests and have EUAs. And I think you know over the past 2 months, the FDA has issued 67 emergency use authorizations, which is far outpacing anything that has been done or could ever been imagined. Galvanizing the research community and the commercial labs. The reason why we're here with ACLA Labs having done about 3 million tests is because of that day when it was galvanized by the president and the vice president. We also set models in the community. Those first community-based testing sites that were federally supported and really under the direction of the U.S. Public Health Service, people who had been in Japan testing people on the Diamond Princess to assure that it would be done right and it would be done safely for everyone involved. Then we moved to really scaling. That phase was very, very important because we knew we needed to be at an immense scale to enter the third phase about supporting opening again. For example, a lot of my life is about swabs. It was enhancing the production capability of a small company in Maine called Puritan that you'll hear a whole lot more about that is sort of the swab provider for the country, but also because of the FDA actions and the actions of scientific community, being able to broaden the types to spun polyester. So U.S. cotton can now come in and start delivering within the next couple of weeks 3 million swabs per week of a different type. It also did things like expanding the community-based testing sites. Whereas we started small with the commercial partners, you see today, right now, we have 73 of this 2.0 sites going to 110. And very importantly, this demonstrated the model. And 68% of those sites are in communities of moderate or high social vulnerability, and 22% are in the highest social vulnerability communities so that we can make sure the testing gets where it needs to be. You've just heard that that could be expanded to thousands of sites. And finally, stage three, which is very exciting, coordinating with governors to support testing plans and rapid response programs. Over the past week, a multidisciplinary team from the White House, HHS, FDA, FEMA, has met virtually with multidisciplinary teams from every state, Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, to understand what their testing aspirations are and to make sure that we can meet those demands. We're going to have another round of those calls this week, but as we talked about earlier today, we will be able to supply every state with the supplies and the tests that they need that will dramatically increase the number of tests we've done to this point. And just to give you an idea, the supplies that we will be providing to states, the minimum that we're supplying to states is approximately double in that month than the Republic of Korea has performed in the 4 months to now accumulated, to give you an idea of the amount of testing that we're going to be doing. So I'm very excited right now as we complete this ecosystem with the large reference labs, the LabCorp and Quest providing the very high throughput, large scale testing, the galvanizing of the hospitals and academic labs that Dr. Birx has done by a machine to machine understanding and promoting that with the governors, and of course using point of care testing when and where that's very important to stop outbreaks or in remote areas like in the Indian Health Service or in Alaska. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
You. Okay, so with that, we're here to answer some questions. And Mike is up here also, so we'll answer. Steve, please go ahead.
Governors grapple with when and how to open their states. What's the best advice from you on what they should do?
We want them to do it. We recommend that they do it as quickly as possible, but safely. We want everyone to be safe. And I think you're seeing that. You're seeing a lot of governors get out and they want to open it up. Many are thinking about their school system. Not a long way to go in the school system right now for this season, for this year. But I think you'll see a lot of schools open up, even if it's for a very short period of time. I think it would be a good thing. Because as you see, in terms of what this vicious virus goes after, young people seem to do very well. Young people seem to do very well. So I know that there are some governors that aren't necessarily ready to open up their states, but they may be ready to open up their school systems. We'll see. But that's their choice. But the word is safety.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.